Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 11th day of October, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the Michael from Sweden interview. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambith. Callers will be welcome. We do ask that you maintain proper language and also try not to talk over other participants. We are in the question and answer mode, which means that you are automatically muted when you join the call until such time as you signal that you wish to talk and ask a question. On phones, you hit star 6. On computers, you hit the Ask Question button. Our website that has lots and lots of information and resource material, but also the call schedule and archives and a daily mail page is PastorDan.net. And again, that's PastorDan with no spaces, .net. And we do, like I said, encourage that. We got a real short Bible verse here, and then we'll bring Michael on. This is from David the psalmist. My soul rests in Yahweh alone. My salvation is from Him. Psalm 62, verse 1. And now let's see if Michael can hear me. Okay, Michael, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you very well. Do you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. So very good. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's a very honor to be you welcome me this yet again. I think first time when we did this, I think it was approximately 3 years ago when we did it the first time, and now it's past 3 years, and it happened a lot since this time, I believe. But still, we are, as I and believe also, that we have the same foundation, and that is what brings us together.
Yeah, amen to that. It's hard to believe 3 years. Time is just flying by. And since it has been 3 years, we have a lot of new listeners. Michael, would you mind taking just a few minutes to introduce yourself to the audience and kind of give them a little bit of background information on yourself?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So my name is Michael, and I'm from Sweden, as my name also says. So I'm called Michael Swede, and I started up, I would say I have been listening to mainly you were one of the first I was listening to, Dan, and the spirit that you have on your shows, on your interviews, have always ringed very, very true to me. So that has been one of many that has wakened me up to the biblical truth, because that is what I believe that get us together. That is the view about the 2C line message and the interpretation of Genesis 3:15 that brings us together. And with 3 years ago, I did start off my the show that I have, that is the Lion of the North, and I started up it with at Eurofolk Radio, but approximately, and I had it there for some times, but then I decided I want to do it on my own instead, because that gives me more freedom, who I interview, what I do, and I get the freedom I want to have, and also the topics that I discuss, and that also it was in the same time, I guess, that you also left Pastor Dan, Eurofolk Radio, and then we both have started up the ministries on our own, but still we still have the foundation of the Bible, having that as our faith, that is what brings us together, and then of course maybe we have maybe some differences, of course, that's what we should have, but that shouldn't divide us. We can discuss those details, I believe, when this is over, so we can instead focus on the stuff that is at hand, that is to wake up our brothers and sisters to who they are. But they are so very stiff-necked. In this place, I mean, Sweden has been, that is, I would say, sounds very harsh, but that is almost hell on earth, because people are so atheistic. It's 95%. That is hell on earth, because there is no faith here. And when you discuss this, they mock you, they laugh at you, and they, yeah, so that's, but still, I'm doing, because I have this love for the one, for my brothers and sisters, to doing, try to wake them up and try to remind them who they are, and try to get a reaction. When you say stuff, sometimes you don't even get a reaction. It's still, it's like dead. You can say something, you know, So, I don't know, I get a bit frustrated. I don't know if you have the same experience, Dan.
Yeah, they're the walking dead, you know. They're the walking dead that Ezekiel talked about in chapter 37. The valley of dead and dry bones is representative of the earth. And these people, the vast majority of them, truly do not believe. Even the people that go to so-called churches and temples and different things like that, they actually don't believe. They're just going through the motions because they think it somehow makes them look godly and look pious. They're trying to impress their bosses or their neighbors or their girlfriends or wives. But you and I both know that they actually don't believe because it doesn't show in their life. When you're a real believer, it has an effect over your life. And these people are apostates. So I believe we're in the last days with the great apostasy. And so if these people don't repent and come around, they won't be with us much longer. At least that's how I see it. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, they are this more, for them it's more of like a, window dressing. I don't know what it is, because they just want to look good, but then they go out and live like the devil. For example, they go to their, I don't know what, as you said, temples, shrines, I don't know if it's churches even, because I don't believe Jesus Christ is in those at all, as close to them, because I think he abhors them. I don't think he is close to it. Maybe to some individual hearts, but then they go out and having, for example, lunch and dinner after this, but it is your Sabbath. You should not go and having commercials on your Sabbath, but they doesn't regard the laws of Moses at all. They doesn't follow the commandments. Don't eat pork. They eat pork. Don't eat shellfish. They eat shellfish. So it is a lot of, they believe that the laws have been done away with, and it's now God has changed his mind regarding to homosexuality, regarding to everything. He changed his mind. No, he has not changed his mind, but they believe so in their minds to make them feel good. They like to have this tickling of their ears, unfortunately. But tickling of their ears is, for me, like a bit childish, because if you can't face the truth, well, you're a child, to be honest. So that's how I view it, and that's probably what's happening in America too, that the church has been so defiled. They are most Baal priests that keeps the sheep, they keep them asleep until the slaughter, I believe. They are not pastors of that warns people of the danger. For example, we have now this ongoing pandemic, corona. It makes me so sick to listen to it, and the pastors doesn't even warn them. I don't know what the pastor says in America. Do they endorse this vaccine? Because I am not following it along, but what is the take in America regarding to all this? And because that is could be, I believe that is one the mark of the beast, what they want now to enforce. What is your view about that?
Well, I don't go to these whitewashed sepulchers, tombs that people call churches, so I don't know what they're teaching. I do hear from some of my associates who go to these churches, or their family does, and for the most part, the preachers are prostitutes. They really don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them. They just did it for a career, a job. And so they're going along with the government mandates because they've signed up with the, I believe it's called the Secret Clergy Agreement or Secret Clergy Registry. I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, it's an agreement between the government that if the clergy will go along with their communist takeover, then they'll be spared when the Bolsheviks start to murder the church leaders and things such as that. So they're typical of the White Russian generals and the White Russian preachers that went along with the Bolsheviks of Russia, and they were later executed by the Bolsheviks. But it's very similar to that. They come in with their money, like Lenin and Trotsky did with the gold, the $20 million in gold bullion from United States banks, Jewish bankers in New York City. Lenin and Trotsky came over from Canada secretly on a ship, and they used that $20 million in 1917. $20 million back then was probably like $20 billion today, but it was a lot of money, and they were able to buy off politicians and buy off media, buy off corrupt officials, and things like that. And so these White Russians became traitors, just like the white race in Sweden and the white race in America and Canada. They've basically turned into traitors to their own kind because they want to appear to be so magnanimous and so virtual signaling that they're so caring of everybody. They buy into it because they think it's going to make them look good, or it's going to get them a better job, or they're going to get a pay raise, or they're going to get a handout from the government. I mean, these people are pathetic. They have no backbone. They're jellyfish when it comes to that. They're cowards. They're cucks. They're soy boys, I call them. And so they don't stand for anything. They're pretty weak. Spiritually, they're weak as hell, you know, just like the folks over there in Sweden. Back to you.
Yeah, because spirituality, I believe, it feels like that is all... Well, I don't want to use the word gone, but still, to discuss matter that is... It is, would I say, other opinion regarding, for example, Corona, to just say, hey, the method of scanning for Corona was patented 2017. Well, they laugh at you. Me, at least. They just laugh at me because they never heard it. They say, oh, that's a conspiracy theorist. Oh, they, you know, they are so, you cannot even get a reaction of them. That is so poor because that is something that you get to being a Christian, I believe, that is to fight the good cause, that is to fighting lies that will kill us. That is what we need to fight. That is what Jesus Christ did when he walked the earth. You have to, to the one that wants to kill us, them are the one we need to, their lies we need to put an end to. But that is, you probably also have those discussions with our people. They are, I mean, sometimes... every other people, races can go together when something goes against them. But the white race is like, oh, come on, a little point is dividing them, and they won't talk to that people. They can't even talk to them because they're so stiff-necked. Yeah, that is put so well about our people, this stiff-neckedness that we have, this that we fight among each other. And that is a big, that's an uphill having those. But I hope it's getting better. I don't know what's your view about this. Are we getting better at it, or is it still the same? Is it still those divisions that happens? Because that is also something that our Heavenly Father abhor, this dissension among our people. That is one of the things that He hates when we doesn't get together, when we are having these divisions among each other.
Yeah, amen. You're exactly right. What I've noticed is that the believers are getting stronger. The people that can actually see through the lies and deception, they're getting much stronger, and there are more of them today. But the wicked are becoming even more wicked. They're becoming even more imbecilic, stupid, ignorant of facts. They don't love the truth. But to me, this is the time at the end of the age that the Father talked about, the great separating of the wheat from the chaff and the wheat from the tares. These people represent the tares. Their ignorance, arrogance, lack of empathy for mankind, lack of reverence for our Father in heaven. These things are all earmarks of people who are apostate. They've lost all spiritual connection to the Creator Father. And so they're the walking dead. I don't believe we're going to see them much longer because they're going to go and get this vaccine. which will end them. They will no longer be human. They'll be transhuman. They will be more like GMO foods, okay? It's all part of the Zionist Jewish plot to turn everybody into a non-human that they can, because then they don't belong to the Father. You see, the Jews have no salvation. They know that. Okay, you can go listen to rabbis. You can go read the Talmud. They don't believe in a hereafter. They don't believe there's any heaven for them. There's nothing. So they have to try to make this a hell on earth to make it comfortable for them, because they are like their Father. They love perversion. They hate our Father Creator, and they hate morality. They hate decency. So that's why you see everywhere where the Jews come to power, they promote homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, sexual perversion, violence, racial tension. Those are all earmarks of a Judaic society. Okay, and again, you can go to Jewish authors who say this about themselves, much like Dr. McCoe in Canada and Brother Nathaniel out in, I think it's in Colorado. But, you know, they themselves are Jews, and they'll tell you that this is what our societies are like, okay? And a lot of people try to tell me that, you know, Dan, you can't say that about all Jews, but I never said all Jews. I say there are some people that call themselves Jews who aren't Jews. They think they're Jews because some ancestor said, we have Jewish blood in us, or some relative said, oh, yeah, your great-grandmother married a Jewish banker. Well, they don't really know that. They don't know that. So, and then some, I've met white Christians who call themselves Jews because they think it's like virtue signaling, that they can showing empathy for God's chosen. So they call themselves Jews. So that's why I say, people, you can't go by that. That's why our Father told us to judge people by their fruit, by their actions. Actions speak louder than words. I remember that as a boy on the farm. My parents and my elders used to say it all the time. Actions speak louder than words. They used to use little proverbs like that to teach us as children. Just like the Bible says, teach a child as you walk in the way. In other words, you don't put them in a classroom and try to drum stuff into their heads for 45 minutes out of an hour. And then ring a bell, and then they go to another cubicle and sit there and for 45 minutes get stuff drummed into their heads. They don't remember stuff like that. What you do is you go through day-to-day activities, and when it's appropriate, they give you a little one- or two-sentence adverb, and you learn that way, or a proverb, I should say. You learn that way. And so it stuck with me as a boy, okay? Actions speak louder words. That's not a lot of writing, and yet the principle of that is very profound. And if people would only understand that, instead of listening and watching these computer screens, their tablets, their phones, and televisions, and believing what these cretins are telling them, these miscreants on the tube are telling them, if they would just apply that little principle from the Bible, judge them by their fruits. I mean, everything in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure it's the same in Sweden, these politicians and government people, there are the worst people. They're crooked. They're perverse. They're liars, thieves, and degenerates, most of them, and they don't tell the truth about anything. And yet our people still want to think they're going to solve our problems. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many people, like you said, do not have any spirituality about them at all. They don't believe in the Father. They don't believe the Father can save us. They think man is going to save man from man. I mean, what's wrong with that equation, right? So, anyway, that's the way it looks over here. Back to you.
Yeah, and I fully agree with you. As you, when you are a boy, you... That is, the school doesn't really, that is just a communist institution to drum in the socialism or giving in humanism and getting in those, I don't know, this is, unfortunately, I think the school has been worse and worse compared to when I did go in school, and has getting worse and worse, and people doesn't learn anything. They doesn't read history, and they get a doubt in the Bible. They make that sounds like it is phony. It is only phony, it's just a story. And also, as you said, it's interesting when you when you are looking into the Jewish people, when they are speaking about themselves, they say it if you just read what they say. But then when you point it out to people, they get pissed at you, mad at you. Oh, we cannot say that. Well, they said it themselves. And then I also one person that came up to my mind when you said this is Bobby Fischer. He that himself said that, yeah, everything with the Jewish people is like Satan. Well, point on. He hits the nail with his head there. And he was, I guess, one of the most intelligent chess player that you can find. So he was very intelligent. So, mm-hmm. But he said it. Their own people have said it.
Right.
So about how they are. And then, yeah. So this is yes, but this is, I don't know, that's their way of, I don't know, not bragging. I don't know if this is something to brag about, but, and then you can also see, unfortunately, our own people that acts like Jewish in their actions. When you see everything they do is money, and they can lie, they can be thieves, they can do anything just for money. And just for as you said, just to get a raise in the job or whatever it could be. Or just be hypocritical about this mass migration that's been going on in our nations and say, oh, it's good. Well, it's good. But then they live in white societies. And then there, if you try to comment on it, that, hey, it's not good. It's going to lead to our demise. It's going to weaken our society. We're going to crumble under it. They are all hypocritical. And that makes me also very... I also like this, what you say, that the one that are in the truth, the believers are getting stronger, and that's something I also feel the same, and the one I'm speaking to, I can sense the same, that's getting stronger, so that this divisions or this separation between the wheat and the chaff has been, it's increasing day by day, so it makes, for me, sometimes it is harder and harder to be with those that are, what do you say, those that are spiritual dead, because in the discussions or talks I have, what can you speak about if they doesn't want to discuss the truth? It is only in their fairy tales. It's I don't know. It doesn't get my spirit going anyway. It's nothing. I don't get any exchange of it anyway.
Yeah, you're right. It's exasperating to deal with these people. You know, I sometimes wonder if the wearing of the dirty diapers on the face is not our Father's way to help us identify the wheat and the tares. I know the criminal, excuse me, I know the criminals are doing it because they it's a sign of obedience to the beast system. And it's a way to dehumanize us. But our Father can use anything that the Antichrist does, he can turn it around for the favor of his children. And so sometimes I wonder if this is helping us to come out of the Babylonian system, which all the dirty diaper people are part of the system. They will literally do anything the beast tells them so they can keep going to their Walmart or their stores and buy their toys. So this is a way for us to know who the people are that I refer to the diaper wearers as no brains and no balls. Okay, that's what they are. And it reminds me, I was thinking of this last night, of the story of Gideon in the Bible. I believe it's in the book of Numbers. Gideon was going to go to war against a very large number of enemy soldiers, very large number. And he had, I think it was 33,000, 32,000 troops. And our Father in heaven said, Gideon, you've got too many people with you. And he said, well, wait a minute. I'm outnumbered, greatly outnumbered already. What do you mean? And he said, get rid of the guys with no balls. Okay, so just like the diaper wearers, they have no balls, they have no stamina, they have no backbone. So he got rid of all the cowards, and his numbers went from over 30,000. He was now down to 10,000 soldiers. That's all he had, 10,000. So he said, okay, I'm ready to go to war. He goes, I'll just trust you. I'm going to win. And Yahweh said, no, you still have too many. He goes, wait a minute. I have too many. I've only got 10,000 men. He said, no, now you want to get rid of the ones with no brains. So take them down by the creek and tell them to get a drink of water. And the ones that drink like a dog and stick their face in the water for a big old gulp of water, and they've put their sword and their shield down, he goes, they have no brains. So you get rid of them. And it's just like the diaper wearers. No balls, no brains. They're the people we don't want to come into the kingdom. They're the people we don't want in our militia. We don't want them in our county government. They are antichrists. And just like Gideon, he weeded them out. So he was down from over 30,000 to just 300. So only one person in 100 passed the test of having brains and balls. Courage. So I think we're almost at that same point, Michael. You think about it. I believe we have better than one in 100. I believe we're closer to maybe 5 in 100, which is a pretty good number of souls that will be saved, but there's still a large number of souls that are just lost. They're just completely lost. But we're going to win, because our Father said we're going to win, because we hold fast to the truth, and we hold fast to each other, and we have the spirit of Adam that says that we are loving, caring, sharing people, sometimes to a fault, but we are the people who are the builders, the creators. We bring health and prosperity and law and order and justice, where all this chaos is the work of Satan and Satan's kids that are walking amongst us. Back to you.
Yeah, that is, I could, that, it turns this around. I think about that too, as you're saying. Those people that are, I don't know, because in Sweden, lo and behold, the country that has been so on every point regarding to immigration, everything, but in this corona, I don't know, this, I get, oh, this, there, we have not enforced any face masks. We have not enforced any lockdowns at all here in Sweden. So I am not really seeing this with the face mask, as you say, but I can see it. I can reference it to other way how people are when they say we recommend that you keep distance. Well, why should I do that? That is just it's like. If you look to our forefathers, what did they have to fear? And now, you are afraid of being sick. What kind of man are you? You're not. I mean, that's how our people have become. So I can view people in this way when I look in work, whenever I am. The one that are, what do you say, abiding to those rules or those recommendations that keep this. And, you know, all this, I get so frustrated when I see it, because I get pretty angry over it, because it's a lie. And seeing grown up, I don't want to call it men either, because it can't be men if they are acting like this and are afraid of getting a flu or whatever it is, because it is just phony. It is so phony, this all this. And if people would, if it would be, that is also one question I can pose to people. Well, if this would be a real problem, that you get sick, why are not people more concerned about it? Why are people doesn't really care about it? Because it is a lie. And they, you know, saying that it's, they don't like to hear that, of course. But still, all this, I also wrote down this, as I said, this Gideon's army is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And also Phineas and his priesthood that he created by what he did to this Adamite man and this, and remember this non-Adamic woman that he did show up for everyone. And then got her into this to his tent, and he killed them both because of what they were doing. So those also I like this because it makes the blood in us boil when we see this, because it is just pure wrong. But when I was younger and I got that, I didn't understand it. But now I understand why I get so angry when I see it, because of it is something that our Father put in us. It is not hate. It is pure love for our kind, because we know what it leads to. It leads to the destruction of our people and our race. So that is why we get so angry when we see it. So so that is kind of here in Sweden, that there hasn't really been this big lockdown. I don't know how it is in America now. Is it still lockdown or what? Because they enforce a lot of stupid stuff there in America. They try to say that because it's not about a sickness, it's about, I guess, the bankers, because the one that did have this, a patent for the for this corona testing was, lo and behold, Richard Rothschild. What do a banker want to have with that patent? Well, right. Because it is just a smokescreen. So smokescreen, so they can restart their system, the system that is dead. It is just dead since 2008. So now they want to restart it, because that is what happened to all of those fiat currency system. Over to you.
Well, you're right. If people go down the rabbit holes into where follow the money, my grandfather told me that when I was a boy. He said, if you ever want to figure out why crazy things are happening, especially in politics, just go follow the money. If you follow the money, it'll tell you everything you need to know about who's behind it and why. And who can argue with the fact that this is probably the craziest time in the history of mankind? This is a worldwide effort to shut down free enterprise, to shut down private property ownership. In fact, if people would just go read Karl Marx, who was a Jew, in fact, he was the son of a rabbi, Karl Marx wrote Das Kapital, and from that is where you get the Communist Manifesto. Now, if anybody really wants to see what's going on, there's two playbooks that Jews wrote about world conquest. And one of them was over 100 years ago called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, a lot of people will believe the lie that it's a fake and phony. Well, you can believe that if you want, but get a copy of it. It's not that long. And read it, and you'll see that they are operating right along with that playbook. Okay. Well, the other playbook that is being operated on right now in front of our eyes is the Communist Manifesto. So put the pieces of the puzzle together. You've got the Protocols of Zion and communism, which is Jewish through and through. It's admitted that. Many rabbis admitted that. Many prominent Jews, including Bobby Fischer and others, have said that, yes, communism is Judaism. They're synonymous. Okay, so now you've got the Communist Manifesto and the Protocols. If you just read those two documents, you will see that every plank of the Communist Manifesto, every protocol to take over the world for Satan and Satan's kids, meaning the Jews, is being played out right in front of our eyes. And people, if they don't want to believe it, that's fine. You don't have to believe the truth. When our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, walked this earth, he did not shake people and slap them on the face and say, you must believe me. That's not how he did it, and we don't do it that way either. He just said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I'm the way to your salvation, and I am everlasting life. Do you want those things? Do you want truth? Do you want to know the way? Do you want to live forever in a peaceful kingdom with the Creator Father? Or do you want to go to hell? Do you want to live in a perpetual hell with these monsters that run the show today? Okay, it's up to you, folks. What do you want? Now, it says in Scripture that at the end of the age, he would put a strong delusion. And Michael, I submit to you that the reason our people look like deaf, dumb, and blind sheep out there with that blank stare in their face is because this passage applies to them. I will put a strong delusion over them, for one of the reasons is they don't love the Father and they do not love the truth. And because of that, they believe a lie, a delusion, a facade. And that's what's happening in the world right in front of our eyes. You and I, Michael, are blessed to be at the end of the age, which means the coming of Messiah, and the fact that these wicked, as Malachi says in chapter 4, the wicked are going to be tread under our feet Okay. Yes, it looks like we're going to lose this thing because we're outnumbered. They've got the money. We don't. They've got numbers. We don't. The only thing we have on us is our Heavenly Father and truth. And that's powerful, folks. That's very powerful. And we're going to pass this test because we're going to stand strong. And Yahweh's going to put a hedge of protection around his sons and daughters. That's a fact. He's got angels watching over us, and if we will not succumb to the lies and the intimidation by these cretins that walk amongst us, these low IQ cretins, that we will be overcomers and we will see the kingdom. And many of the people listening to us talk today will not see death. Believe it or not, many of the people here today will not actually suffer death. They will go straight from this hellish earthly domain that we are trapped in. They will go straight into their glorified bodies and the kingdom age with the coming of Messiah. In the twinkling of an eye, you will be converted. And praise Yahweh for that, because we're living in hell right now. This is a living hell. For people that love the truth and love the Father and want to see a better world and to fix this world, it's like living in hell, because if you want to be like Black Lives Matter, which is a completely communist organization, and the leaders of it, Bill O'Reilly, exposed that just today, it's a communist organization. Okay, they've got millions of dollars. If you want to be Antifa, which is another communist organization, they've got millions of dollars. If you want to be a liar like Pat Robertson or Kenneth Copeland or John Hagee, they'll put millions of electronic shekels in their pockets so that they can live the high life, where us poor truth tellers, we're basically just getting by. But the goal is to be overcomers, because the greater reward is in the hereafter. Because the things that you have in this world, folks, you can't keep it anyway. There's an old saying that he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to obtain what he cannot lose. And I can't remember who said that. I can find it. But that is a beautiful saying. And again, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep, meaning this life and the things of this life, to obtain what he cannot lose, which is eternal salvation with our Creator Father. It's a really simple message. Why people don't understand it is beyond me, Michael. Back to you.
Yeah, and the verses that you quoted, it's they're so I really like them, so that's why I want to read them. It is from 2 Thessalonians 2:10 until 12 that said, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Yeah, and when we read this, it's just so striking to see how true that is today, because they have no love for the truth, so they will perish. That is what it said here. They will not be saved. So exactly as you say, that they're going to perish. And it is God that sent this, because that is what they want. They want to believe these lies all the times. And also this one, as when you take those documents that the communist manifesto, as you said, look in our society. Why has every point been activated? Why are they all in place in our society? Because it's a communist society. People, they doesn't really seem to care. They've been so, I don't know what, they've been seared. They don't know what has happened to them, because their conscience is like, they're not worried about that. They're not concerned about it. I'm very concerned when I see it, because I know what communists will end to. It is the death of white people. That is their agenda. That's why they implement it. And then also, as I said, the protocols of the elders learner of Zion, yeah, what do they say about it when you point it out? Well, it's a forgery. A forgery. Well, then it must be a real one somewhere. Where is it? Probably at Lord Rothschild's library, of course, because he probably wrote it. And I think you did send out some document that said it was Lord Rothschild did write the protocols of the elders of Zion, and that they are forgeries. But they trip on their own words.
Right.
They forge something that exists. Then it is a real one somewhere.
Right. Well, that's how the Jews work. They try to disparage truth tellers. Look what they did to our Messiah 2,000 years ago. The Jews went through the crowds saying, he's a blasphemer, he's a pagan, he's an idolater, he's trying to overthrow Rome, all these negative things, and they got the crowd eventually to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. The same exact thing is happening today. Instead of doing it to our Messiah in person, they're doing it to his sons and daughters who try to live according to his teachings. It's the same thing. I just saw yesterday when I clicked on a website, sometimes you get these pop-ups. And Yahoo News is one of the pop-ups, even though Yahoo couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. And I see this thing about Sheriff Dar Leaf in Michigan. Well, it just so happens I know about Sheriff Dar Leaf through a friend of mine who's been working with the constitutional sheriffs in America and has been for years. And Dar Leaf is one of the leaders. He is a very strong believer. He is a very strong constitutional sheriff. He is also aware of the racial issues going on. He knows about the Zionists. And he supports the militia and works with the leaders of the militia. And there's a lot of militia in Michigan. I used to live there, so I know that. Okay, so what do they do? Oh, Sheriff Dar Leaf is associated with white supremacists who had plans to kidnap the CIA, former CIA transsexual Jewish governor of Michigan, Stretchen Gretchen Whitmer. Okay, this is how they work. Okay, Gretchen Whitmer is a perfect example of Satan's kids walking amongst us. Okay, a pompous ass who could care less about the Constitution, care less about the truth, former CIA, which means, of course, as an officer in the CIA, she is very aware of the Jewish influence over the intelligence agencies, and she herself is a Jew. So she's a transsexual, so she's a pervert. She was in the CIA, which means she's a criminal and works against the interests of this country. And she's Jewish. So, again, traitor to the United States. So what do? They cook up a fake and phony story that somebody was going to try to kidnap her, and it was white supremacists. So this is how they do things. They smear and dirty the waters so that the average person, because they don't ever think about anything, they don't ever put their critical thinking cap on and sit there and go, well, wait a minute. But for those of us that know people like Dar Leaf and know what he represents and who he's working with, it's easy for us to say. Now, it's interesting. When I lived in Michigan, they did the same thing for me. And this was almost 20 years ago. When I first started my radio show, the Jewish-run Southern Poverty Law Center put up a map on their website showing white supremacist groups in the United States. And they had a star right over the town I was living in. And I didn't know about this. One of my listeners to the show said, Dan, did you know you're a white supremacist group? I said, what? He goes, yeah, you're a white supremacist group. By Yahweh's Design is a white supremacist group. And I said, well, first of all, it's just me and a woman living in an old remodeled farmhouse by ourselves. So where's the group? But that's how they do things. So they try to get people, if they went to the website, they'd see By Yahweh's Design, and they would never listen to anything we said because, oh, we're a white supremacist group. So now they're doing the same thing to Sheriff Dar Leaf because Sheriff Leaf is trying to get the police and the sheriffs to understand their constitutional and moral duty to the citizens of Michigan. So this is how they work. And again, like you said, if people would just think about what's going on and sit and be critical and do at least a little bit of research, you could figure this stuff out. But most people, they'll believe the lie. Back to you.
Yeah, because it's I guess it's herd mentality. It is easier to believe a lie, and they don't. And that also tells a bit about our people, how we are. We don't really want to care. That's why I think you and me also had, I think, a very good view about if the best, I don't know, the best rule, the best system to for rule is probably a monarch, because that is how we have. That is one thing we have brought with us, and Sweden too has been a monarchy with very, some of the kings has been very, and of course this is something that the Jews hate, that is a white strong man, that is a warriors, and because that was something, if we look at all the people, in at least in Sweden, the past, how did they got their representation, how did they got to the power they had? Well, it was through their actions, and it was mostly times in wars. That's how they did got their glory. They didn't get it from by being a thief, or being a liar, or being a politician that is just a pure liar. No, they didn't. They did it by their actions. And that's our kings, as they've been, that's what they valued also. They valued good soldiers. They valued good courage. And it was almost and same with their faith. That was all. Everybody of course believed in God, in Christianity, and that was what uphold us. But so that was also very strong in their belief, and also in their tactics. How we can look in our some of the kings, for example, the last one, Gustav den Tolfte, Karl den Tolfte, Karl den Tolfte, attack. He was so. They were so. He knew that he were protected by God. So he instead of you mean trying to cover yourself when you did on the horseback, he made himself extremely big in front of his enemy. And that was also something that the Swedish military for that time. Well, we were a pretty small nation, so that's why we had to evaluate tactics. So the Swedish Karolinerna. They were a manufactured first stormtrooper, and because the firefights in those times, they were probably on 100 meters, maybe, but not the Swedish one. They know that they didn't. They instead got very close, maybe 50, 40 meters, and then they shot to, and then they attacked. And then we have this word in Sweden called "gå på," that is attack. That was, and then same with the horses, the Carolines, the horses also, they got very close until their enemy. And by that way, they broke the morality with fear. And that was how be able to be so successful that they were. So this little nation has been so successful. And that is also what I also, if you look in, you have the Prussian military, what do you say? You have the traces of Prussian military in two places in the world. Where are those places? It is in Sweden and it's in Chile. That's where you have the Prussian military. Otherwise, it's been gone. So we have the Prussian military that's here in Sweden. And I also put up with this when you said this that they smear also that people cannot look, for example, do an easy Google search at, for example, you can search at Black Pride, Gay Pride, Asiatic Pride, every kind of pride, and it's something very positive. But do the same search for White Pride, and what is that? Extremely negative. That is hate. Always. So then you bears to mind, then comes to mind the biblical words, Isaiah 5:20, that said, "Woe to them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." How about you?
Yeah, amen, amen. Very well said, Michael. Well, we have to get back to thinking like our ancestors. We have to walk away from Babylon, this whole beast system that's got us believing in parliamentary law and the three branches of government like we have here, or the prime minister form of government, etc. We got to get away from that. We got to go back to what our people have always lived by, that you just alluded to. And certainly the Israelites, who traveled and became great nations like the kingdom of Scythia and the Vandals, the Gauls, the Celts, the Parthians, etc., they all operated under the monarchy. And one of our ancestors who exemplified the bravery and skill of our commanding leaders was Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great said, "I fear not an army of lions led by a sheep." So you could have a whole nation of very strong, powerful warrior type people, but if they chose a leader that was a sheep, then he didn't fear that army, because it's not going to accomplish a damn thing. He said, "But I do fear an army of sheep," and we've got plenty of sheep, so we got a whole army already of sheep, "that are led by a lion." Okay, so again, he's alluding to the fact of the old saying, one bad general is better than two good ones. Okay, again, the concept being, you have to have a singular leader. The same reason why a battleship has one captain. Okay, it does not work dividing the authority to guide the battleship with more than one person. It just doesn't work. Alexander the Great also said, "Upon the conduct of each depends the fate of all." And that goes back to the biblical principle that we are all to operate with the premise of pray as if it all depends on our Father in heaven, but then act as if it depends on you as an individual. Okay? Stop thinking it's all up to the other guy to do something. Every person listening can do something. Every single person out there who has the Holy Spirit in them can do something. Okay? Some have better and more gifts than others. Some have more resources than others. It does not matter. Every man, woman, and child in the kingdom of Yah can do something. You just have to figure out what it is the Father wants you to do. So, again, we have examples from our history, if people would just pay attention to it. We have examples from Scripture, which is a history book. And I want people to remember something, Michael. You know, we got a lot of people walking around. I've had recently conversations with a couple people that are very versed in Scripture. And they give me the typical, you know, the Word of God is our true Word, and that's our greatest guidebook, and all this other stuff. And I ask them, well, what did our ancestors do before the Bible was made? The Bible didn't come into existence till the 1400s with the printing press and things like that. So the Gutenberg Bible, the Gutenberg Press, and all these other translators and putting out massive volumes, even then only the rich people could afford a copy. So what did our ancestors do? Did they walk around in a daze? Were they conquered by everybody because they were ignorant? They didn't have any kind of salvation available to them because they didn't have a Bible. So are you telling me all my ancestors are rotting in hell and all that because they didn't have a Bible to carry with them? And besides that, who created the Bible, folks? The Catholic Church. The same corrupt Catholic Church that has murdered millions of martyrs over the centuries by burning them at the stake and torturing them because the people believed in the spirit of our Father in heaven instead of the Catholic Church. And they didn't worship the Pope, which is what the Catholic Church wants all Catholics to do, worship the Pope. Okay? Popery has murdered millions and millions of innocent men, women, and children, tortured them because they didn't worship the beast. Okay? So I'm not saying that Scripture is not important. It is important. All historical documents written by our ancestors are important, not just what's in your Bible. And a good example of that is, how many Bibles have the Apocrypha in it? Okay? Back until the 1800s in America, and I have a Bible sitting on my shelf right over here that was written in the 1850s. It was my grandmother's. And it's got the Apocrypha in it. And yet most Protestant churches today do not have an English version of the Bible that has the Apocrypha in it. But 150 years ago, they all did. Okay, so right there's an example of how the enemy has crept in and changed things, and we should be aware of that. The Catholic Church does not recognize the Book of Jasher or the Book of Enoch or, in many cases, the Apocrypha writings. They don't, they call people blasphemers that taught, like Martin Luther, that exposed the lies of the Catholic Church, and they denigrate his name. So wake up, people. Stop listening to these lying prostitutes called preachers out there, like Jimmy Swaggart walking around and waving a King James Bible and declaring it the Word of God. Our Father in Heaven didn't create the King James Bible. Men created it. King James was a homosexual. Why did he create the King James Bible? To get rid of the Geneva Notes, because the Geneva Notes exposed homosexuality very, very clearly as a sin. And King James wanted that to be expunged. He wanted the notes taken out, so he had a new version created. And yet you got people walking around as if the King James is the inerrant word of God, when it's so easy to prove that it's not. It's almost unbelievable. So again, if people want to use the King James, that's fine, but I hope you have a very good concordance so that you can look up the Greek and Hebrew and find out where you're being lied to, okay? If you like the prose, if you like the poetry of the King James, well, okay, that's your right. But if you're impressed with the prose and poetry of the King James versus the truth, well, you've just identified yourself as a terror. The truth should be what matters, not which version you're reading. If the version you're reading isn't telling you the truth, then shame on you. Because Yeshua, let me tell you something. Yeshua, when he arrives on that charger for war, or if you get to meet him in front of the great white throne, if you think for 1 minute he's going to give you credit because you carried a King James Bible, I got news for you. No, you don't. If you don't love the truth, then you don't love him. And if you don't love him, you're not going to make it. I don't give a damn what kind of Bible you carry. I don't care what you claim to be the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit of our Father rests on your soul every single moment of your lives. And if you're reading any book and you think that book is more important than what's being talked to you through your pineal gland, into your soul from the Creator right now, this second, you're crazy. Listen to the Father speaking to you. And if he's not speaking to you, you better get your act together, folks, because that's what's going to keep you above the lies and deceptions today, because they're everywhere. Talk to the Father Creator and let his Holy Spirit minister unto you. That's your greatest strength, not some text or a copy or a translation of a text that was written 4,000 years ago. That's how the enemy gets us to divide each other. Well, Dan, you don't celebrate the Sabbath, and you don't celebrate the way I do, and you don't celebrate the feast on the same day as I do, and you don't celebrate the feast the way I do, Dan, and you don't wear the same kind of clothes I do, Dan. We got 1,000 different things to argue over, thousands of different reasons to separate and not fellowship while the enemy is getting ready to destroy our entire race. And we're still sitting around bitching and moaning about little nuances of something that was written 4,000 years ago that not one of you can verify with evidence. You can't. Unless you've got a time machine, you can't. And yet, you ignore the real-time Holy Spirit speaking to you minute by minute every single day of your life. It's unbelievable, Michael. Back to you.
Oh, amen to all that. That was very well said, stated, as you pointed out with the Bible. Yeah, it haven't existed for very long time. So what did we have? Well, we have the communication with our Father, and we had the, because we were created new beings, because he took out the stony heart with the fleshly heart, because his laws is put on our heart. That is this communication. You need to feel, for example, when I heard about this corona, when this started up, he had told me, this is a lie, don't believe it. And because I immediately feel this is something wrong. And this is, and then, so that's how you feel. You need to be in line with this. But then in our world now, that's a secular. Then, if you can't touch it, if you can't, having those reasons to where it comes from, then it doesn't exist. That's the secular view. That is the Satan's view. And also, as I think about, as you said, I heard someone say that for those that will experience heaven, this is as close to hell you will get, and those that will come to hell, this is as close to heaven that they will come. So think about that. For us, this is, as I said, this is pure, this is hell on earth at the moment. It is, really is, but this is the closest we will get to hell, because in the kingdoms be so, yeah, that will be so glorious when that day comes, and we know that will come and we will experience it. That is, I believe in my heart, that we will see his return. Because we are in the last time, and the prophecies are getting, they're getting fulfilled. And yet, look how amazing it is, because our prophets, they wanted to see this, and we are seeing it. Just rejoice, I mean, to be able to witnessing this, even if it is very testing. Of course it is. This is his fire that is put upon us. So it is. I really enjoy it. Sometimes also, we get frustrated to see our people, how stupid they are. And also, as I said, this about moaning about those arguments about you doesn't do the feast like that, you don't do that, so I don't talk to you. Well, how is that? That is childish for me. That is a baby, you know, sitting in the kindergarten and say, you are stupid. Why? And you can't even talk to them. That is like very childish. As I said, we need to be able to put that aside. And those are, I think you have said that before, Dan, so very nice, the elegance when you said those finer details we can discuss around the campfire when all is done. So we doesn't need to, I don't think they should separate us. That is maybe could be good for the argument, for having those discussions, because it is not really the argument itself that is brings, okay, he won the debate and he lost it. That is not the pure interesting. It is more during the debate, during the discussions, the all the points get up. That is the interesting stuff with it. So, and I can also, as you, when you're putting up the with in Sweden, how we regarded, because we have put up statues on our former kings, and we have a saying in Sweden that is called, it is called kruka. And that is a pot. And that is someone that is a coward. And how our kings, for example, as you know, I took up his name before, Karl XII. He is represented as being a lion among the pots. But the other kings that didn't were on the battlefields, they're more represented as being the pots around the lion, because they didn't, were not out on the battlefield. They were more regarded as cowards because they were never on the battlefields. So this was the how it's been that way in Sweden for, that's our traditions, the military traditions here in this nation, little nation. So it's really been a very, and also when you took up Scythia, in my research I come to that Scythia, if you look, that is for, if you, I've read some Swedish historians that, and they say that another way to say Sweden is Scythia. And also the name Svitjord, that is the greatest Svitjord, that is goes from the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea, Azerbaijan, and all the way up here to Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. And that is, if you also go to Iceland today and go to and want to know what's Sweden on Icelandic, it is Svitjord. So Sweden is, matter of fact, old Skiptia. part of it anyway, but that is the name of Sweden. So the Christians, they, many of them, I believe, stayed up in Sweden, and then also the Parthian hordes that did come up here was from under Odin. He was not a god, he was an Israelite. So that took up the one of Asher and Vaner, and that is here, Dan. So those two tribes, they did go up with Odin up here. So that's where also we get the name. If someone comes from Dalarna, that's a place in Sweden, we can call them Dalmasar. It has the same name of Asar in it. And that is from Asher, because Swedes, I believe, comes from the tribe of Asher and also Naphtali. That is why the Norwegians and the Swedes are identical on their DNA. They are both the same. They are Naphtali and Asher that has melted together into one people. And also then we have Dan in Denmark. They're a bit different, but they are very similar as well. So, yeah, over to you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love history. I've always loved studying history because if you have an open mind and you study real history, or what we call historicity, which means actual history, not the fake and phony stuff, it will lead you to the truths of the Bible and who's the true Israelites versus the large number of smart people that I know, but they believe the Jewish lies. That somehow the Bible is about some foreign god and it's a Jewish book, and oh my God! Instead of looking at it as no, it's an Aryan documents written by Aryans years ago. And if you really studied it hard, you'd find out that all of you people that are either Odinists or some people call it pagan, but it's really just outside of the quote scripture. Many of those traditions go back to the same figures and the same principles that are embodied in what we call scripture today, because we're the same people. And that's why I love it when you bring up things like that, because I love studying the migrations, the languages, especially in the similarities, and how it all shows the fingerprints, as Bertrand Comparé would call it, the fingerprints of history show the travels of the true Israelites versus the fake and phony imposter Jews, these Khazars that walk amongst us that are actually Satan's kids. It's even interesting that the kingdom of Wales, which is Cymru, Cymru is named after one of the Israelite kings, and we call it Wales today, but their actual name is Cymru. And it's named after the Old Testament king that traveled to up and through the, like you said, the Black Sea and that area through the Caucasus and everything up to and eventually settled in Wales. And it's funny because the language of Wales, or Cymraeg, is ancient Hebrew. Very interesting that the Welshmen speak a dialect of ancient Hebrew. According to E. Raymond Capt, the Welsh language is the closest thing to the spoken Hebrew of our ancestors many thousands of years ago compared to all other languages. It's the closest. And the other interesting thing is a bunch of Welshmen went to a seminar being given about Egyptology and the pyramids, and he was speaking from the cartouches, the language, the hieroglyphs, and he was pronouncing what these hieroglyphs were saying, and the Welshman knew exactly what he was saying because they interrupted the lecturer and said, "Wait a minute, we know what you're saying. A Welshman knows what you're saying." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Because as you're pronouncing those, that's our language. That's our language." So the fingerprints are there if you care about truth. And if you don't care about truth, obviously it's not. Now, you mentioned Dansmark or Denmark, Norway, Sweden. What about Finland? How close to the Finnish people are the rest of the Netherlands folks?
Well, we are pretty close to Finland as well. So, but Finland, they have their language is that's the language that you have in also, example, Hungary. They have the same language that. So their language are, if you go Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, those languages you understand. I understand them, but when you Icelandic and Norwegian or and Finnish, I can't understand them really because they are different. But still, yeah, we are close, of course. But the Finns are, yeah, they are also they're a bit different also and Sweden are. But we have also in our history, if we look, Finland has been if you look in the prophecies for Issachar to having two burdens between their side. Well, look at the burdens that Finland has always been had to be struggled with. First, we had Sweden had dominion over Finland over time. Then Russia did. Then again Sweden and back and forth. And then we had, of course, then it came to the Second World War. Well, then again we have Germany on one side and the Soviet Union on the other side. So again, two big power upon her side. But and luckily Finland didn't want to have any communists. They did join up with Hitler's Germany to be able to defend themselves against, and little Finland did resist the ferocious Soviet army. And that is a feat by himself. And it's also said that Mannerheim, he did say that he did quote to say that sons of Issachar, when he did, so he that's it's a sign that I believe that they were protected by this, that he did know their identity. So also, if we look also to history, we can see that the name of Azerbaijan, if we look at that name, in the name, we have Asher in it. That is also, like for me, to see a trace of us, because isn't that also what our people do? We put the names that we put is from the tribes, our former tribesmen. And same, this was also that a very famous Norwegian guy wanted to do, Thor Heyerdahl. He was more known for the Ra second, and also Kun Tiki, his expeditions with those rafts. But he also did want to trace Odin to Azerbaijan. So it is, this is, and that is also a place where we have where all those places that you see, those Odinists are quoting. Come on, it's real places. It is, don't worship your ancestor. Start worshiping the true God, the one that will give you salvation, the one that will help you, the one that protects you from everything. We have nothing to fear at him at our side. We have nothing to fear because he defends us. He we have nothing to fear. But this is a faith test. If we show any doubt in our faith, well, his protection is gone. But when we live in complete faith, nothing can hurt us. We can just, I guess you have this from the First World War. Was this the 91st, was it a brigade, a platoon, a brigade, I think, that they didn't have a single casualty. And they also did quote Psalm 91 every day.
Yes, that was the 91st Battalion in World War One. Yes, and they agreed amongst themselves that they would pray the 91st Psalm of protection every single day. And they were known to have fought in some of the bloodiest battles of World War One, and some of them were absolute slaughters. I had an uncle, we called him Brownie, that was a field grade lieutenant in the trenches of France during World War One, and it was horrific, the things that he said that he witnessed over there. So you're right. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. One thing to our Finnish cousins over there, I remember reading a story years ago about World War Two. Like you said, the Finns were anti-communists. And real anti-communists were pro-German, okay? That's all there is to it. And if people don't know that, they're just dumber than rocks. So the Finns fought against the communists and on the side of the Germans because that was just the logical thing to do. But one of the most successful snipers of World War II was a Finn. And yes. he traveled extensively on cross-country skis, if I remember right, and he operated all by himself quite a bit, and yet he was able to pick off many Soviet commanders and sub-commanders He had, I can't remember the number of total victims to his sniping, but he was quite prolific, quite the hunter. He reminds me, and again, here you go, fingerprints of our people. It reminds me of a book written about a sniper during America's Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression. There was a sniper from the South who did exactly like this Finnish soldier did. He operated all by himself. He had a special rifle. He had some money. And he had a gunsmith make him a very special rifled long-range rifle. And he had a scope made. It wasn't as good as what we have today, obviously. But he had a scope. And he was a prolific hunter. He was known for being a good shot even before the war started. So during the War of Northern Aggression here in the United States, this guy traveled extensively. Sometimes he would hide out for days all by himself, waiting to pick off a captain on an ironclad ship on the rivers, or a cavalry commander, whatever. He would pick out the guy with the highest rank, and he would execute him. So that's the nature of our people. They don't always go out there and take somebody head on. We are known as the greatest warriors, whether it's face-to-face or a brave soul that goes out all by himself to take out the enemy commanders. So again, another trait of who we are, the Israelites. Now, Michael, in your opinion, that what we see going on in the world today, it's obviously nothing to do with a real pandemic. That's a lie. We know that. Do you agree that this is the end time push by the Jewish communist Bolsheviks to literally take over the whole world? Do you agree that that's what we're witnessing?
Yeah, come on. Yes, I fully agree. This is a plan for them to get, this is their final key, I guess, to get all the world's wealth, to abolish all the free enterprise. And who are the ones that are suffering during this lie pandemic? It is the Christian smaller businesses, but the big businesses are doing good. Yeah, the Jewish one, they're doing good. Yeah, because it's a foul lie. It is just, so yeah, this is a way for them to try to, and then if this, well, they want this economic system to collapse. And isn't that also said that Mr. Babylon will burn within an hour? It will go very fast when it burns down. And I'm looking forward to see that day. And that I will be as excited to see when that burns. And who is it that going to mourn? It is the merchants that are going to mourn. It is not we that are going to mourn. We are going to get woe at last. Because it is with this system they can also buy our people off with money, with their to kill their own kind. So it's I fully agree that this is their try to get their one world government, everything in place. And the guy you were alluding to is Simo Hayab. I'm not so good at Finnish, but he was regarded as the White Death. By the Finnish soldier. And what I understand about this Finnish guy, when he shot, he didn't have any scope, because the scope would let him off, because that will, you know, the sun that shines on the scope, you will see it. So he did shoot only with his normal, what do you say, I don't have the English word for those kind of sights, but he didn't have any scope when he shot. And he
right.
also, when it was during the winter, how did he hide his breath? He put ice in his snow in his mouth. You didn't see the when he was breathing. So he had many kills. He did. So yeah, as only questions. Yeah, I agree. This is a way for the communist push. They want to enforce their world communist, but they have matters, and they also of course want to get away your First and Second Amendment. Because that is, I believe, that you in America are keeping up the rest of the world. Without you, everything else would collapse. Over to you.
Yeah, I agree. That's why, some people want to flee. Excuse me. Some people want to flee from the United States and go to a different country. But the great battle is right here. Because once America has been subdued, the rest of the world doesn't stand a chance. So we have to fight the great battle here, and that's why I've told people I'm not going anywhere. The Father is not leading me anywhere else, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stand and fight right here. The word you're looking for a rifle that does not have a scope is that it has what they call open sights, or you can say it has iron sights. So that's two different ways to say a rifle without a scope.
Thank you.
Yeah, open sights or iron sights. And you're right, I do remember reading that now that you mention it. He said that the scope would give him away. In fact, Carlos Hathcock was one of the greatest modern snipers in American history. And Carlos Hathcock took out a North Vietnam sniper who was killing many Americans because the two of them went after each other. The North Korean was trying to find Carlos, and Carlos was looking for the North Korean. And he killed the North Korean only by a split second. And the way he found him was the sun shining off of his scope. So you're right. So the Finnish sniper was exactly right, and that's why he learned to shoot without a scope, which means he had to get much closer, okay? If you're going to try to shoot somebody a mile away or three-quarters of a mile away, you have to have a scope. You can't do it otherwise. So when guys like the Confederate sniper or the Finnish sniper, if you're going to do it with open sights, you're going to have to be much closer, which means you're going to have to be braver and you're going to have to be much better at hiding than the guy that sits a whole mile away because he doesn't have to worry about it. So it's interesting how our warriors adapt to the situation in order to prevail. One of the quotes I really like to read, Michael, is Henry David Thoreau when he said, "There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root." So it means that the vast majority of our people are sitting there trying to deal with all the fruits of these evil people. There's 1,000 of them to every one that sees the root of the problem. And I would submit to you the root of our problem is these devil-worshipping Judaic infiltrators into our governments and around this world, because if you follow the money behind all of this communist takeover shenanigans that are going on, it always goes back to people like George Soros or Rothschild or Rockefeller, all of them Jews. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this, as I said, also that I lost a bit, but as you said, is that this is always very those one that attacks the foundation of the everything that is good. And then we have to then fight the good fight, and that is truth, that is loving truth, and yeah. So sorry, I forgot. I lost the thread a bit. So what was the question?
Well, just that the root of our problem is these same people. The people call them the international bankers, the oligarchy, neoconservatives, the usual suspects, cabal, deep state. But isn't it funny that every time you look at the faces or the names of the individuals of these nefarious groups, every one of them is Jewish? That was the point.
Yeah, and as I said, that is what our Messiah, Jesus Christ, did said when he confronted them in John 8:44, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He did. So yes, he has already foretold all this to us. So that is the root of our why our world are as it is, because there is an enmity between the seed lines that our people are ignorant of. This enmity that still goes on, and there is no truth in it. So it still goes on today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, people are going to have to reconnect with our Father, that's for sure, and get a spiritual backbone and start doing the digging and abandon this whole beast world system that does nothing but enslave people and keep us at perpetual wars, all for the corporations. And that's why I was so thrilled to see that Bill O'Reilly put out that short little video condemning corporates, America, the corporations, because they are evil, folks. I know the corporations own a lot of advertising, and they want through the advertising to make you think that everything's better when it's run by a corporation. I'm here to tell you that corporations are a form of centralization, and centralization is Zionist communist. Everything centralized is a communist plot. And so we need to disband corporations, make them an outlaw. And like Michael said, the history of our people is under monarchies. Whether people like to hear that or not, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people that want to argue all the time. You get used to it, folks. You're going to survive under a monarchical type of government, or you're going to die. Do you understand me? You're either going to have to realize that these man-made systems are doing nothing but destroying our people, and you'd better get used to the idea that we're going to have to rally around a monarch, whether it's a mortal man who represents Messiah on earth or the Messiah himself. It doesn't matter. The principle is the same. You have to stop this nonsense that we all have to agree on every issue, that every person has to be on board, everybody has to vote on every issue, and understand that is what the enemy wants you to be in, because they control all of the mechanisms. The one thing they can't control is a righteous monarch. Okay? Get used to it. And start thinking about how to functionally make that happen. How do we do that? How do we get our militia, our sheriffs, and our pastors? Those are the three legs of the stool of liberty at the local level. Your local pastor, a constitutional sheriff, and a armed citizenry called the militia. Okay? Those three legs at the local level and a monarchy. There is what's going to pull your ass out of the fire this time. You understand? You fell for the lie. You believed in it. You think the Constitution's the greatest thing. No, it's not. You left and abandoned the thing that keeps you safe, which is a moral, high character monarch who is first a believer, and then he is loyal to blood and soil. That's the two things you want in your monarch. A strong believer who is a leader of the faith, and he believes and supports, even to death, blood and soil. That's it. Everything else is minuscule when it comes to that. Because as defender of the faith, he will keep the heretics and the antichrists out of your kingdoms. That's why the Jews in the protocols said their first target will be the Christian monarchies, to destroy the Christian monarchies. And look at history. That's exactly what they have done. Michael, we've had about an hour and a half. I don't know how much time you have, but any more thoughts that you have on anything that we've talked about?
We can, I don't know how much time you have, we can go on for half an hour more if you feel this is so. For me, I have no, half an hour more would do, good.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Let me see if nobody's called in, so we don't have any questions from the audience. Let me check the chat room. I don't see anything in the chat room either. Okay. So we can continue on in whatever vein you want to go through. But my main thing is to get people used to those two things. One, that we're witnessing a communist insurgency. That's exactly what this is. Don't think about a pandemic. Don't think about anything other than communist insurgency in the white nations of the world. That's what we face. And every nation, which means race, where our people live, they must start thinking about a warrior king monarch. just like King David. If you want to see an example of what you want to look for, just look to our great ancestor, King David. A warrior king. Okay? A righteous warrior king who is the leader to take back our nations and to lead the people into righteousness and to throw the enemy out, to destroy our enemies. That's the only thing that's going to work, Michael. Do you see any other way?
No, it's because that was the target, as you said, in the protocols. It was our monarchs. It was the point number one, get rid of the monarchs, get rid of the monarchs. So, of course, it is. That's what our enemies are saying. They want to get rid of our monarchs. Of course, then we need to go back to that. Then we have to use Occam's razor and see, what do they don't like? Well, they don't like monarchs. Then they are very good for us. Then they're very protective. And this is also said that people still want to, like, oh, I want to have a say in it, and monarchs are dictators. Well, no, they're not, because they are around them. They have their people that give them guidance. They're not an dictatorial. Same the Swedish king. They would never. I just take that example, because I live here, and that's the history I've studied. Same with the Swedish king. They were never dictators. They were out and speaking with the people and listening to the people. And they didn't have everything. They had their guidance around them that guided them what they should do. And also, as I said, this to get rid of the monarchs. That when the Illuminati was formed, at that meeting, they also decided to get rid of the Swedish monarch. That was one of their goals. So Sweden was doing something. I don't know why Sweden. Why do you want to get rid of them? Because them. That was their target. Because Sweden did never abide with the bankers. They didn't do that. That was also something. When the Swedish kings of before did go to the throne, they did swear to not engage in. I'm paraphrasing now. To be engaging in money lending with foreign religion. We know what that meant. That meant to get money lends from Jews. That was what they swear to do, not to do that.
Right. And monarchs are not monarchs for life. Monarchs can be thrown out. They can be deposed, is what we call it. So the whole idea that a monarch and then his sons and daughters are guaranteed to sit on the throne, no, that's not how monarchies work. A monarch is just basically like a CEO of a corporation. You can get rid of a CEO if you get the board of directors, which is what the Privy Council is. It's called a Privy Council, Michael. The Privy Council operates much like the board of directors does at a corporation. So if a CEO starts making decisions that are counter to the benefits of the members of the board of the directors, they can vote to throw that CEO out. Okay, well, a monarch is exactly the same. A biblical monarchy, he's only a monarch as long as he's doing a good job. As soon as he stops doing a good job, he can be thrown out. So think about it, folks. I wanted to talk a little bit about that, Michael. How would a biblical monarchy solve our problems? Okay, now look at the white nations and how chaotic things are. Part of the chaos is you've got, in many white nations, you've got outright Jews. Okay, France being one, Canada being one, England being one, the United States being one. I'm trying to think of some other nations. But they're all Jews, okay? They're crypto-Jews. They're hiding, but they're Jews, okay? They either have Jewish blood or Jewish money controlling them. But so effectively, they're Jews. Okay, so that's one problem that would be eliminated. You put one of our own people as our monarch. Then you would not have any arguing between Parliament or Congress and prime ministers and things like that. That would all be done away with. So when people, like you said, the Swedish kings went out amongst the people, that's exactly what the monarch does. He does not rely on some special interest group coming in and telling him, like today, the president and the Congress people are inundated with special interests. Special interest groups and their funds dictate what we get for law, where the monarch would go out amongst the people at the local level. He would go down to the county level, and he would personally see to it that the people are being taken care of properly by the magistrates, the local magistrate and the local sheriff. If they weren't doing their job, he would use his power of the monarchy to have them removed. And if they've committed crimes, they would be executed. Okay, how much simpler could it be? Every sheriff in America would straighten up. Over 3,000 sheriffs in America would straighten up as soon as somebody was made a monarch. And just for the sake of argument, I'll say I'm the monarch, okay? So here's how it would work. Commander Dan would put out the edict that he's going to come around, he's going to travel, and he wants to hear from the people directly, okay? So he would use an open source, a blockchain-type technology where people could contact him directly, just like Twitter, only Twitter's run by a Zionist, so you got to get rid of that. So you operate one that the monarch himself, he creates his own personal platform. And when people say from Dade County, Florida, they start writing and saying that the local sheriff is corrupt. We just had an innocent man and woman that were put in jail. There was a Black Lives Matter group that burned down a store and they raped the man's daughter. He would send his agents down to verify this or come personally. And as soon as he found out that it was true, he would have the local authorities arrested. And as soon as it was proven that they had committed these crimes, he would execute them publicly. I'm going to tell you, this country would straighten up overnight. Same thing with the central bankers controlling the money. The monarch would throw them out immediately and put the money back into the hands of the people where it belongs. He would support the good sheriffs. He would go after the bad sheriffs. Okay? Corporations would no longer exist. Income taxes would no longer exist. Property taxes no longer exist. Public school system would be dismantled. Education belongs to mom and dad. Mom and dad, you figure out how to educate your child. That's your job. It's not the job of the monarch. It's not the job of government. Your health care, same thing. You figure out what's best for you. You support the things that are going right, and you don't support with your time and your money the things that don't work. And the monarch stays out of it because it's none of his business. Okay? Those things would happen overnight, not a year from now or like we have today. We've got Trump that's been in office almost 4 years, and everything's exactly as it was, if not worse. Why? Because everybody says he's done what he promised. Really? Let's see. The borders are still wide open. Children are still being trafficked. Economy is shit. The world hates us. We're still bombing the shit out of everybody. We're living off a giant credit card. So you tell me how the hell 4 years of this so-called white knight, this messiah in shoe leather, is doing us any good. If you want to change this world, you better pick out a righteous warrior monarch and get the hell behind him. And then things will happen within a week. Within 1 week, you'll see this world turn around. 1 week! Not one term of 4 years or 6 years and constant bickering, constantly finding out the Jews have subverted us yet again or hijacked a populist movement that could have done something like the tax party, the Tea Party. Okay? Instead, it would be the righteous monarch. And if you had local law enforcement that were corrupt, they would be hanging from a yardarm. If a local sheriff's department's corrupt, they will be hanging from lampposts. Okay? Any public servant that commits a crime while in office will be judged instantly. Not a promise, well, we'll get Robert Mueller or Barr or some other swamp creature to look into it. Oh, that's really going to fix a lot of problems. Swamp creatures are going to fix swamp creatures? You people are stupid. I hate to say it, but our people are stupid, Michael. They keep doing the same thing over and over, but think they're going to get a different result. That's a form of insanity. Our people are insane, and they hate doing things our father's way. And I don't understand it. They claim to believe the Scripture. They claim to believe in the Holy Spirit. They claim to believe in the Creator of heaven and earth, and then rebel against the very things that He put in motion. These same people, and that includes identity people, they claim that they believe, and then they rebel. Whether you want to talk about the patriarchal family, natural health, the food laws, circumcision, you name it, these sons of bitches want to complain, bitch, moan, and resist it with their every fiber of their being. And yet they claim that they believe in Yahweh, our Creator Father, and yet they want to walk in the ways of man and wonder why nothing ever gets fixed. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, I really enjoy that when you put that out, because it is so much true in it. Yeah, that is, we are expert to complain. And it's also, if you quote Thomas Paine when he said, to argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administrating medicine to the dead. And isn't that to our people? They have renounced their use of reason. And as you, this also, when you, those democracy. It is a creation of the devil. It is his system. And how can you able to fix something within the system that created it? No, it's not. And it's also for me. I don't believe in voting. I believe that is a putting a man before our Messiah Jesus Christ. So that's why I don't do that, because he is our Messiah. We shouldn't put any faith in our man. Our faith is in heaven and in our Messiah Jesus Christ. That is the one that's going to help, that's giving us salvation. And also, this is also kind of interesting when you said this, I think also when you spoke with Professor Chu about it, that you want to move, you want to do something, but you're stuck. And I feel the same, I'm like stuck, I don't get anywhere. So that has reasons, because our Heavenly Father has done this. He has put us on those places for a reason. And so I also agree on that, because I feel the same there. You're like, yeah, you want to do, but can't. You don't get away. I don't get away. So I kind of like it here, but I fully agree with that. And then again, you have this when you want to fix the problem, where you're putting a fox to guard a hen house. That's exactly what they're always doing. They don't want to fix it. Because they want to guard their own. And also, as you said, those politicians, I guess they are like a diaper. They need to change often because they get dirty. So that's what politicians are. And they are, it's always someone new to stand in the road to take their place, apparently. So it's because they get so much money. That is also this, that our people are so materialistic. And that's also a problem. When we get materialistic, we forget our Heavenly Father. Then we believe, oh, okay, I don't need anything now. I have everything I need. No, it's not really true, but that is a way that we get separated. So that is, as you said also, that in the beginning, this quote, that to able to give up the stuff, then to receive the stuff I doesn't remember the quote you said, but that was a very nice way of saying it. And it's also this, when you come to Pascal, he also did a quote, this had one that he said regarding to this, to having a belief in the Heavenly Father, that he had what he said, Pascal's wager, that he pointed out, that there's something we also have to do, what to say, do, I don't know, use the word gamble, but still, this is something we can't really gamble with. You either are condemned or you'll have eternal life. Who would like to gamble about that? So you must obey to his laws and to abide to your Heavenly Father, because otherwise you're condemned. And if you're wrong, what was the worst thing that happened? You lived a very moral life. You had a good morality, and you have this because you also get this, as I said. I mean, you are a believer. This you should also see this change in someone. You should see the changes in their life. And when you're observing that, then you know that the Holy Spirit is working there. So, yes. Over to you.
Yeah, very well said, Michael. Very well said. Also, let me commend you for your English, Michael. I always have a lot of respect for somebody that can teach themselves another language, and your command of the English language is very good, okay? Obviously, you have an accent and some of the words, but then again, people that I've known lived in this country their entire lives have trouble with using the right word and grammar. I read articles and listen to speeches and find errors all the time. So even people that grew up in America sometimes butcher the English language, where you have a very good command of the English language, and I commend you for that. And let me say one thing. Your English is a hell of a lot better than my Swedish, because my Swedish is non-existent. And that's one thing one of the things I've prayed to the Father for many years was the ability to learn languages. I was hoping and praying that somehow he would strike me like he's done some of the prophets of old, and all of a sudden I would just instantly know how to speak in every language. I don't see that happening. It could, but I don't see it happening. Of course, with Google Translator, it's pretty quick to put something out in another person's language compared to what it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I wanted to ask you, how did you come to learn English, and what advice would you give, because many people have contacted me wanting to learn a second or a third language. So how did you do it, and what would you recommend to others?
Oh, thank you very much that you find my English okay, that I can, yeah. But this has been, for me, this search for the truth that, of course, I know now who did put that in my heart, to always be searching for something. This was something that, my ex-girlfriend told me, always, that you're always searching for something, you're never at peace, you're always looking for something. Yeah, I did look for something. I did look for my Messiah, Jesus Christ, but I didn't know that I was a bit slow. I'm a bit slow before I understand, but then I get it, I get a bit faster at it. But this was also this, and then I also realized when I did this search, everything was in English. That was where I found all the biblical truth and what I was looking for. It was not in Swedish. So then I had to listen to most, I listened to you very much, I listened to also Pastor Eli, and it was on English everything. Same when I listened to Wesley Swift and Bertin Compere, it's all on English. So this was, and for me, to learning languages is practicing. For me, I'm not so good at grammar, I'm not so good at writing, I'm pretty short when I write because I'm not so good at it. I'm more the person to use my verbal, to speak, because you give also this, you get the interaction between another persons when you are speaking with them. You get another interaction between each other. So that's why I'm more speaking. It's more easier to make get. I like that more better. And that's for me. My tips has been to listening to the language, to hear the words, and then also of course to speaking it. It's practicing. Always this what is learning by doing. You're doing by practicing it. That's how I have been learning English, and it's practicing and to listen to languages. That's the best tips I can give. And we can also, as you said, is with the language. We can look at some of the prophecies that is said about Naphtali. And it is said that in Genesis 49:21, Naphtali is a deer let loose. He gives words of elegance. What can that mean? If you listen to when people are referring to listening to Norwegian people speak and Swedish people speak their native language, what do they say? Whoa, your language is so beautiful. You sing it out. You like sing it, like music. I believe that's a prophecy fulfilled in our language, how we speak, because we have a rhythm in it that almost sing it. We to get the point across, so you can hear on the voices, on the tones, it goes ups and downs, it's like music. So I believe, yes, to Lagonic language. That's how I believe that Naphtali, that's a fulfillment of one of Naphtali's promises that was given to him. And that's in our language, in Norwegian and Swedish. Over to you.
Oh, very well said. And you're right. I've listened to, for instance, Charlotte Church, a very beautiful young lady that's a singer. And when she was just, I think, 12 years old, she put her first album out, and she's Welsh. So she sings songs in English and in Welsh. And a lot of people think that ancient Hebrew and current Welsh is very guttural, okay? All the Celtic language, like Scottish, Irish, and Welsh, are very guttural languages. But when you listen to the songs, like Colin Lan in Welsh is a pure heart, Colin Lan. And when you listen to the choirs, say the boys' choirs over in Wales sing those songs, it doesn't come across as a rough or guttural language. It's beautiful. And the things I've listened to, like the Swedish band Sabaton, they sing some songs in Swedish. It's uplifting when they sing about history in their songs. And the Hussars of Poland, when they saved Europe from the Muslim invasion, when they sing about the Catholic-Protestant wars and some of the other wars where our people showed their bravery in battle, especially the Swedes. And they sing it in Swedish. It's music. Even though I don't understand every word, it resonates. It's a very beautiful language. And so one of the questions I had was, you know, you said, and I agree with you, you have to practice it. If you want to learn a second language, the secret is having somebody else to learn it. And not just somebody, but somebody who is able to slow down. Just like you learned it as a child, it has to be simple verses and simple sentences spoken clearly and slowly until you get up to speed. And I've had people try to teach me German, French, Spanish, and they want to speak it like somebody that's grew up in those countries. You don't learn it that way. You learn it by having people converse with you in simple sentences, and you build your vocabulary and you build it up. And it's so good that if you have somebody you can do that with that's at your level, or at least able to speak to you at your level and let you grow. Did you have somebody, a person or whatever, that could communicate with you that way, Michael?
No, I didn't. I guess I also spoke with, of course, that was a bit later when I spoke with people. But I was more in my, I learned it by my myself. I read very much, and I also was listening much to it. And then by that way, then by practicing also alone, that also. And as you said, also this with when you're learning a language, you need to having this. What I think about was the verse that I'm paraphrasing now. This that we are getting the spiritual food should be milk and not meat. That is the same with languages. We should have baby food, that is the milk, that is the slower, not speaking in the more the grown-up, as is the meat. So yes, this is the same with scriptures. When we start up with scriptures, you don't go into the most complex verses. You take it easy. You start up with something that you can understand. Same with languages. You shouldn't have use your because I guess it's the same in America, that when you come to a certain part in your nation, it's sometimes hard to understand your dialects. It's the same in Sweden. There are places where I don't understand what they say if they want me not to understand it. Because I have this, I'm living in the main, in the capital, Stockholm, so I have a very typical, from Stockholm, that dialect, and that can be hard for people to understand. Because saying now that I'm struggling with is that I speak pretty fast. I'm very fast speaking. I should calm down. But that is something I need to work with. But yes, that's what I agree with, as you said. But I know I have not had really someone. This is, guess, with the interaction I have with you, with other, with Professor Chewis, and those talks I have been having. That's how I have been getting better at it. Because the only way to get better at something is to put you in a position that is not comfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you will never learn anything. You need to get in uncomfortable position and push yourself always. That's the only way to get better at something. Same when I started up doing my, like for example, doing my own, this, as you said, also Sabaton. Yeah, my name for my show, The Lion of the North. That is, I have that as one of my, I get the inspiration from them to start up with that, because The Lion of the North, that is also a reference to one of the king that started up the Swedish era of call it Stormaktstiden. I don't really know the English word for it. And they, as I said, the Protestant against the Catholic, and that the Swedes did because they were on the Protestant side, and that was Gustav II Adolf. He was the one that did fought the Catholic and also helped the German Protestant against them. And they did, and they were out much out in war. And you have more songs, as I said, they like you like to listen to it. Like same, how I also have this thing about Karl den Tolfte, Carlos Rex, that is about Karl den Tolfte. So there's also those songs about our history, and over to you.
Yeah, very well said. I was wondering, before we close out, would you mind reading something and give the listeners a sample of Swedish, either from scripture or from some text?
Yeah, sure. And I think the one I want to read then, of course, is why not do Psalm 91?
Ah, Psalm 91. Excellent.
But on Swedish, I'm going to do it. So, of course. Well, I can start up then. Psalm 91 then. Den som sitter under den högstes beskärm och vilar under dess allsmäktiges skugga. Han säger, i Herren har jag min tillflykt och min borg, min Gud, på vilken jag förtröstar. Ja, han ska rädda dig från fågelfängarens snara och från pesten som fördärvar. Med sina fjädrar ska han betäcka dig och under hans vingar ska du finna tillflykt. Hans trofasthet är sköld och skärm. Du ska icke behöva frukta nattens fasor, icke pilen som flyger om dagen, icke pesten som går fram i mörkret, eller fasorten som ödelägger vid middagens ljus. Om 1000 faller vid din sida, ja, 10 000 högra sidor, så ska det dock icke drabba dig. Dina ögon skulle ha blott skåda därpå med lust, och du ska se det ogudaktiges lön. Ty, du har sagt, du, Herre, är mitt skydd, och du har gjort den högstes till din tillflykt. Ingen olycka ska vederfaras dig, och ingen plåga ska närka sin hydda. Ty, han har väl givit sin ängel befallning om dig, att skulle bevara dig på alla dina vägar. Det skulle bära dig på händerna, så att du icke stöter din fot mot någon sten. Över lejon och huggorm ska du gå. Du ska trampa ned unga lejon och drakar. Han håller sig in till mig. Därför ska jag befria honom. Jag ska beskydda honom, därför att han känner mitt namn. Han åkallar mig, och jag ska svara honom. Jag är med honom i nöden. Jag ska rädda honom och låta honom komma till ära. Jag ska mätta honom i långt liv och låta honom se min frälsning. So that was Psalm 91 on Swedish.
Ah, interesting, because I've never listened, but I was able to follow picking up a word here and there that is very similar in other languages as you were reading it, okay? Because if you do study other languages, you start seeing some commonality, and almost all of our language have certain words. They're pronounced slightly different, but as you get used to how our different white cultures develop their languages, you can have some similarities. So I was able to follow verse by verse pretty close most of the way through that. So that's kind of interesting. So like you said, if I was to listen to that, even if it was just this Psalm 91, every single day, just listening to it, eventually you start putting little pieces together, and then you can build from there. So thank you for that, Michael. Do you have any closing comments or anything before we shove off for the day?
I'm just very grateful that you let me come on your show again, and I hope we can do this again, because this is very enlightening for the souls, for our spirit. I feel a very kindred spirit when we're doing this, so I hope we can continue doing this, because we need to do this. This is a rightful, I believe this, what do you say? Sacrifices. There's rightful sacrifices. We are sacrificing our times, and we are for our loved brothers and sisters by sitting and trying to giving spiritual food to our brothers and sisters, because I know how also when I was searching for the truth, how enlightening it is to listen to people that are speaking about the truth, that, oh, at last I found it, at last I can, someone that understands, and you, it's like, It's like music to the souls. And also we are practicing the word that our Messiah said, love the truth. It is not just saying it. Oh, I'm the truth, I'm the way. And then you think you're saved. Well, no, you need to practice in it. You need to follow the truth and find it, not just saying it. Because I have met people that only say that and then think that's okay. Well, if you say it, you should also practice it, as you said. That action speaks louder than words. And so, yes, I want to thank you that you have had me as a guest. So hope we can do this soon again.
Oh, absolutely. Michael, you have an open invitation to come on the show anytime. One of our listeners is a retired nurse, and she's Finnish. And she says that you have a beautiful spirit, and you're very calming. And she thought it was a wonderful interview. So, you know, praise Yahweh. In fact, quite a few of my listeners have Swedish ancestry in them. In fact, one of the fellows that is very close has the last name of Koip, K-E-U-P, Koip. And he is, in fact, he says his lineage goes back to some of the monarchs of Sweden. So very interesting how Yahweh's bringing the family together in these latter days. So very good interview, Michael. I appreciate it a lot. And you keep up the good work there as Lion of the North. And real quick before we sign off, tell folks how they can either find your channel or contact you.
Well, my channel is found on BitChute because my other channel that was censored by you know who, so they didn't like me, so I got in the memory hole. So I'm at BitChute. So if you just search for Nordic Awakening, you will find it. I can also put it in the chat room, so you have the listeners can find my link there to my show, or to where I post the shows that I'm doing. And if you want to contact me on email, it is nordic.awaken1984@protonmail.com. Oh, I saw there's a misspelling in my email here. Sorry for that. But it is nordic.awaken1984@protonmail.com.
Okay, very good. nordic.awaken1984@protonmail.com. And Nordic Awakening on BitChute, correct?
Yes, that is
okay. Correct.
And
All right. Go ahead.
Now, yeah, and yes, if someone wants to have comments, just please write me an email or just so I can. I really like to being in contact with my brothers and sisters So thank you very much, Dan, for able to join you tonight.
Absolutely. Take good care, Michael. All right. Yeah, very good. So again, our brother over there in Sweden doing a hell of a job with his Lion of the North show over BitChute, does a lot of interviews. He also talks a lot and does shows with Professor Truth, Paul, who was our guest a week ago. So then the spirit, that's what we're looking for, the spirit of brotherhood. We don't agree on everything. Michael and I don't agree on everything. Paul and I don't agree on everything. None of you folks listening right now. And we've got 56 people. And I know the chat room thinks it's only 14, but there's people that don't show up in the chat room. And Angel, one of our listeners, keeps tabs on whatever method she's using to figure out who's listening and not logged in. But we actually have an audience today that numbers at 56. So, and I know that doesn't sound a lot. Rush Limbaugh and obviously Alex Jones and many other platforms have people in the millions. But I like to equate my listeners with Messiah. He operated with just 12 men. Now think about that. He changed the entire world with his own personal ministry and 12 disciples. Changed the entire world. Okay? Because the spirit of our Father and truth is a mighty powerful weapon. Okay? Now that doesn't mean you go through this world unarmed, because they're bad people and you have a right to defend yourself. So don't ever confuse the two. But we want to bring down an empire of evil. And that's the job of the Aryan Israelite male. He brings down empires, especially evil ones. And that's what we're at war against right now, an evil empire. And we will fight with whatever numbers we have. So don't ever get caught up in the numbers game. King David was chastised and punished for numbering his troops because he wanted to have confidence going into a battle because of his numbers. Numbers don't matter, ladies and gentlemen. Our hearts matter. So don't ever forget that. Again, that was Michael over in Sweden, and we ask everybody to keep him in your prayers. He's in a very precarious position being over there as a small minority of true believers amongst people that are pretty much pagan, hedonistic, materialistic, much like all of our white nations, really. Spiritually speaking, we're in bad shape, really, really bad shape. And people better wake up fast because time's running out. I hope you folks know that. It's not going to be much longer. And the curtain on this portion of this world that our Father created, this particular epoch, the purpose for this earth that he created and put Adamkind here, has almost run its course. And so it's a curtain call. You're either going to be counted with the sheep or with the goats. It's your choice. Will you pass the test or will you not? Will you choose wisely or will you choose foolishly? It's up to you. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity and platform that we could reach out to our brothers. And we especially appreciate Michael and all of his hard work and the fact that he has done such a great job. And he's maintained a dual language ministry, which has great power and outreach, and he's able to transverse between those two worlds fluently and effectively. So praise you, Father, for him and his work and all of those who accomplish the same things. We ask that you would take this message and deliver it to the ears of those who are meant to hear it. We pray for the awakening of our people, that valley of dead and dry bones, to go from spiritual weakness and cowardice to spiritual strength. May you raise up the lions amongst our people and convince them of your law. Your law is what brings peace, prosperity, and salvation, not the laws of man. Man's banking, man's government, man's law brings only death and destruction. Help us repent and recover, Father Yahweh. Walk with us, talk with us, protect us from our enemies as we look forward to your coming and your sitting upon the throne of this world. And we ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.